Well, praise the Lord. I'm always excited to hear Brother Gomez preach, and he's been a dear friend for many, many years. Very strong preacher, takes a great stand, built a great work for God. He and I have gone soul winning together, hunting together, fishing together, preaching together. And he's man's man, and if you're not one of those as a male, you probably won't like it. I'm excited to have him and have him kick the meeting off, and looking forward to hearing what he has to say tonight.
Lord, you've deceived me. Oh, Lord, you've done me wrong. I've been out here preaching faithfully. Seems you've left me all alone. So I said, I'll not speak or mention your name at all. But your word is like a fire burning in my bones. I can't quit when there's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down. He gives me strength to carry on. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat. But I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. So many are quitting. They're laying down the sword. They've grown weary in this battle we're fighting for our Lord. Oh, but when I think of what he did on the cross at Calvary, I take up the blood-stained banner and march with a redeemed. No, I can't quit when there's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down. He gives me strength to carry on. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat. But I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. I can't quit when there's a fire burning in my soul. Sometimes I want to lay it down. He gives me strength to carry on. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat. But I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. I know while on this battlefield, sometimes we'll face defeat. But I can't quit when there's a fire. No, I can't quit when there's a fire. I can't quit when there's a fire burning in me. No, I can't quit.
So an old boys can sing, can't they? That's wonderful. Book of Ruth in your Bibles, please. Book of Ruth is such a joy to be here on this night. We had a wonderful day here on yesterday. And I want to thank the preacher for all his kindnesses. And the church is just really a wonderful, wonderful day. And did some things special for us. I certainly appreciate that. We just had a wonderful time, Kim and I. And we're glad to be here on this time. Well, the saddest times, I think, in our ministry is when we had to stare at a camera and preach at a camera. And last year, of course, that's the way it was. But it's good to see faces. It's hard to assemble remotely. You can't do that. And I'm going to try as best I can to avoid getting into some of the stuff that we're into now, because I could stay there all night. And some of you wouldn't want to hear what I got to say about it, but we're in a mess, and we're going to stay in a mess, and announced that 1 year ago. And it's total, absolute control, and they're trying to take over our country, and you'll understand that by and by. But that's all we'll talk about tonight. But anyway, in the book of Ruth, if you would please, and I'm going to say a few statements and get out of the way and let my preacher come and preach to you tonight. Brother Smith is getting up in age. He's going to face some surgery down his back. And so he preached to me all those many years ago. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they agree? Mentioned that on yesterday, preacher. And I'm certainly glad that day he preached that message and I came and received Christ as my Savior. Our staff got together, I think he was on my 20th or 25th salvation anniversary. They had called Brother Smith and asked him, did he have that tape that he preached, the original tape, I guess it was cassette tape back then, of the message. And he said they had destroyed the archives. It's probably one of those big ones, right? But anyway, he did have the sermon, and he found it in his files. He reworked it a little bit and preached it at Trinity that Sunday. I'm thinking you remembered, told me that I think over 50-plus were saved, I think, from that message. So it still worked even those many years later. And I love him very much, and I have honored my pastors down through the years. And, of course, he's the only one I got left. And so preached Brother Buchanan's funeral not too long ago. And he's the only one left, and I'm glad that he's still around. We'll hear him gladly on tonight. If you can, stand, if you could, please. And I just want to make a few statements tonight, if you'll allow me to, and really just get out of the way. It's always a joy to see the good preachers. I love preachers. Amen. Such wonderful men. I'm a little disturbed at those who take pot shots at them. And these little websites and stuff that trying to kill the fundamental independent Baptist. I'm not embarrassed of what I am, never will be. Never back up from what I am, know what I believe. I told all three of my preachers, I said, if y'all ever change, you made one mistake. You gave me a verse for everything I believe. And so I'm sticking with the Bible. And so these little yard birds, they ain't got a backbone to take a strong stand. They're gonna waffle anyway, so don't worry about those. You need to do what God told you to do according to that book and stand for the book. Stand for the word. That's what needs to be preached here, and that's what will be preached here this week. I pray for this meeting, Brother Angel. Thank you so much, and Brother Coral, thanks for the opportunity. And we'll have a good time this week, I'm sure. Notice, if you would please, and of course, many of you know the story of Elimelech and Naomi. You understand they walked out of the will of God, left Bethlehem, Judah, the place of bread, the place of the house of God. They left there and went out to Moab, a place of backsliding. I preached from this text quite a bit. In fact, I taught through the book of Ruth. I think it took me a year and 4 months, four chapters of the Bible. But anyway, they went down to Moab. You understand the story. And then all of a sudden, when all the tragedy hit, I want you to pick it up in verse 6. We won't go through it all because of time. And then she said, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. I want to speak a little while on the subject when there is no bread in the house of bread. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight for a little while. I just want to say a few statements, maybe to help us, Lord, in our situations, Lord, in our pulpits and our churches. I love preachers, love church. And, Lord, I'm certainly glad that you saved me those many years ago and we've been in church all these years. And I'm glad, Lord, for these many years and started my 40th now at Northwest, that you've allowed me, Lord, to bake some bread and bring some bread to the pulpit. And I pray, Lord, that we'd understand the importance of that. It's easy sometimes for a young preacher to do that, and I'm looking around the auditorium now with some of the gray hairs, been cooking this bread now, bringing it to the house of bread now for 40 and 50 years. We understand that longevity and the faithfulness of that is worthy of mentioning. And I pray we'd understand the importance of this truth. Pray that you'd bless tonight in power, in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. There's a lot of people that are leaving Bethlehem, Judah, and going into Moab because there is no bread in the house of bread. God's word and presence is missing in most of the churches that we visit sometimes. If you think about Kankakee and the Bourbonnais area right now, you go in the majority of the churches, there is no bread being baked. The bakeries are open, but the There is no bread. They're sitting around chit-chatting around coal ovens and empty pews. Some are not even interested if he is in the house. What I have prayed for this week, the both of you men, is that God would show up somewhere, somehow, along this week, whoever the preacher's going to be, whenever he wants to. We're inviting him to these services. And I would to God that he would come. And we need revival. If this country ever needed revival, if we ever need a revival, we need revival now. Some of them not even interested if he's in the house, and some wouldn't know him if he would show up. We're satisfied with the crumbs many times in the carpet from the past bakeries, and some of the men that have bought the bread, we're satisfied with that. We don't even know when he comes to town. In John chapter 12, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on an ass coat is what I'm talking about. He rode past the temple, and the Pharisees were upset because he disturbed their services. I want to say this as honest as I can, and it's true, and some of you have been in revivals when God showed up. Sometimes God's got to mess up the menu. We got everything in place, and I know Brother Angel's got everything planned. That's wonderful. We need to do that. We need to have some sort of organization. But sometimes God just needs to show up and trash all that and come in and meet with us. When was the last time we ever had an altar call where men and women would stay on the altar until God did something in their heart? We have these little altar calls that come and go, and we just glibly come and go. I'm not diminishing that, but I'm talking about when God Almighty gets a hold of your heart and you stay there. We got to get home. I mean, after Sunday morning, we just got to rush home. How about staying there until God does something? When was the last time you heard? When was the last time we heard revival or even conferences like this when people are on the altar crying out and you could hear them verbally, oh, God. When was the last time we heard it? We used to hear that. We've been in meetings like that. I've been in meetings like that. I've been on the verge of revival. I've been in revival. I've seen that. I've felt the presence of God, and we need that again. But you'll never have it until we have some fresh baked bread brought to the pulpit. And we have the men here to do that. I'm simply saying that they were complaining because he was disturbing their prayer meeting in John chapter 12. They were probably praying for the Messiah and yet didn't know that he was passing right outside. They were too busy with their programs agenda. I'm not against programs. We're in one now. Having a lot of people saved the last few weeks. But sometimes we need to understand that you can have your program, but we need him in the program. Sometimes what we do is organize and then invite him in instead of invite him in to give us the program. They miss the hour of their visitation. They overlook the guy on the little donkey. And for as John chapter 12 and verse 43 says, they love the glory that is of man more than the glory that is of God. Somewhere we have to have the glory of God show up in our services and do something real and everlasting in our midst. They wanted the Messiah to come to get out of this Roman bondage. Just hear me well now. And this is exactly where some of us are. We hate the tyranny that's being put upon us with our own government. If we're not careful, we're going to want God to deliver us from the oppression that's coming to America instead of wanting the God that is our Savior. We got to want him more than... We don't need freedom from the tyranny. What we need him is what I'm trying to say. We need to hear, for him to deliver us from the spiritual bondage. They were worried about the Roman bondage. We have in spiritual bondage. Sound like some churches today. They want to be free from the government. And yet, not the spiritual famine that's in their life. Brethren, listen, if we're not honest with ourselves, we'll never see revival. You've got to get honest with yourself, and the truth has got to be preached, and that'll happen this week if you can get honest. And before we'll ever have revival, you've got to get honest with yourself and mix it with truth, and you'll have revival. Spiritual famine is what many of us are experiencing. We can talk it good, and we can play church good, but we need him to show up and speak to our hearts once again. Instead of coming critiquing preaching, we need to come and receive the preaching. I'm amazed how folks come and they critique and have their famous little or their favorite little preacher, especially those that can tell jokes. This is not a comedian act, friend. It's the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. The bread, it's got to bring the bread. And when the fresh bread is gone, people need to receive it. The reason people leave our churches sometimes is because there's no fresh bread. You ain't going to make it on these little internet sermons that you can get. Ain't going to happen. Oh, it's easy for you. But you're going to have to get on your face somewhere and get a hold of God and have Him show up in your own life, in your prayer closet, to come up with some fresh bread. So Jesus passed by, and He passed the up and inners, went down to the poor people and the down and outers. That's normally who He ran with. These Pharisees, as they're planning and having their prayer meeting, was very disturbed that this man on a little ass goat had messed up their services. Our programs are not progress. His presence is what counts. I wonder how much we really pray. I'm talking to church members now. How many do you pray for? How many do you pray that the preacher would preach the fresh bread from heaven, and that you pray that the power of God would show up in the services and something would happen and souls would be saved? The truth of the matter is, if we could raise somebody from the dead, it would excite everybody here. And yet in our services many times, when we have folks saved, that's exactly what happens. They were dead in trespasses and sin, and now they're made alive. Why can't we get excited about that once again? We used to, as fundamental independent Baptists, we'd be excited about winning people to Christ and having a lot of people saved. Now we're just satisfied with crumbs. Crumbs in the carpet. And so God will only come on His terms. He'll not come on our terms. If He'd come on our terms, we'd want Him right now. But He's going to come on His terms if we meet His conditions. Bread crumbs in the carpet won't do. We love to talk about yesteryear's revival. We like to read books on the great revivals of yesteryear. And those we read about, few have experienced. Why do I want to read about it? I don't want to read about it. I want to experience it. I've been in those services before. I'm praying that God would do something in this place this week similar to what I've experienced down there. And some of you can give that testimony. I've been in places sometimes where it's so thick, and you know this. We've been in those meetings where the Holy Ghost is so thick you could cut Him with a knife. We need that again in our services. I'm begging God to do that this week in these services with some preacher, that God would show up. Fresh bread is what we need. We're losing people out of our churches because there's no fresh bread being baked. Preachers are warming up old, stale bread. You're worried about yesteryear. I want to know what He's doing now. What is God doing in our lives now? We have great recipes for bread, but none being baked. Let's not talk about what He's done. Let's talk about what He's doing now. To come in His eye, I told Brother Angel this, and it's so true, yesterday. I preached here a long time ago with the previous pastor, and then Brother Angel, but there used to be a brown building, if you don't understand. There used to be a brown building sitting somewhere here. And they used to park the buses right against the road back here. Brother Howes came one time and told Brother Angel, he said, normally churches hide their old messed up buses behind the building. He said, you put the buses out front to hide your building. And it was worth hiding, too. And I passed here yesterday, and when I passed here yesterday, we met with the graduates, I think on Saturday, and met with some of the graduates at a pizza place, had some beer and pizza. Not really, we didn't have pizza. Anyway, I passed the buildings here, and I looked and I saw it, and I said, this is an absolute stinking miracle. You really need to understand what's on this property and what God has done through this man who kept baking fresh bread. Something about it in the full auditorium on yesterday, because when you bring fresh bread, people will come eat. The reason sometimes people are leaving our church, we ain't serving them fresh bread. Old stale, warmed over muffins. We're going to have to be careful of that. We're good at camouflaging our emptiness, but our leanness of our soul is revealing. But when your eyes have been open, you can see Him clearly. I don't understand us just going through the motions many times, and this is what happens sometimes. We get so used to the unusual. We're losing the wonder of it all. Do you remember when you first got saved? Do you remember that wonderful time when your eyes was open and just service was so powerful that you'd come with anticipation and with a King James Bible open and you couldn't wait for that preacher to preach? I've said this here before, but I'll say it again because I want to hear it. But when I first got saved, I mean, I so mean, I used to hide behind garbage cans and tackle garbage trucks. It's just crazy, man. Long hair, freaky guy. And this preacher preached to me, and I got saved. But I still was the same thing that I was before I ever got saved. And I kept coming. He kept plowing deep. And I was man enough to handle it. The thing about preaching, if you have an open mind and you let somebody deal with you, he'll carve it away. That sharp two-edged sword will do surgery on you if you'll allow it to. But sometimes we don't like that. We don't like anybody telling us what to do. And especially in my generation, the hippie generation, nobody's going to tell me what to do. But you know what? The Holy Ghost did.
Amen.
And when he got a hold of me, I thought about the 20 years that I've wasted of my life and how I almost end up in hell. And every time he preached, I changed just a little bit. Just a little bit. You know, it takes a little while. Sometimes we're stubborn. But I laid some stuff down. But do you remember that? I couldn't wait. I'd sit on the edge of my seat, and I couldn't wait till that preacher opened that book and preached to me. I wanted what he said. And I couldn't assimilate all that he said because I didn't even know, after he got preaching, I didn't even know if I could breathe. He preached against everything. You say, what are you against? I'm against everything. So I'm, what do you preach against? Everything. And he preached against everything. And I'm telling you, I was laying stuff down and quitting stuff and repenting and getting it right. But that's what we need today. We got preachers that are scared to death of their people and will not make the fresh bread and deliver the fresh bread. You're going to have to not worry about the people. You're just going to have to lay back and preach and watch change lives. And it will happen as sure as I'm here. We got to understand that. Good at camouflaging the emptiness. But when your eyes are open, all I know is I was blind and now I saw. A man with experience can never at mercy with a man with an argument. And I know what happened to me, and my life got absolutely transformed. Bread crumbing is what these rock and roll churches are doing now. I got to thinking about some of that stuff, and they swaying back and forth, and I mean, they're rocking it out, brother. I watched one the other day. I was just flipping up looking at a hunting channel. You got to do that every now and again. I have my devotions watching a hunting channel. And I run across one of those religious places, and I saw those guys rocking it out. I got thinking, man, when I was a lost man going to some of those concerts, we didn't do that wild stuff. In the house of God, in the name of God. That is as much part of the Antichrist system as anything I have ever seen in my life. It ain't nothing but bread crumbing, friend. They ain't giving no bread there. The little boys dressing up in their tight breeches and their tight shirts and about five rows of women lusting after them. If you think God's in that, you're crazy. You're absolutely insane. But that's what they're doing. The rock and roll church, that's what they're part of. They talk a little bit about God. And the music and the drama is a big thing. I'm just simply saying what they end up doing is inoculating people from the real thing. They're giving them just enough where they won't catch a real thing. They're around my place. They're some of the biggest rock and roll churches in the nation are right in my shadows. Sometimes we'll get visitors come from there, and they'll hear me preach, and they're going like this. You can tell they've been creaked, Willa creaked. You can tell they've been rocked out because they can't understand godly music and modest women singing and preaching with a two-foot flame out of your nose. They don't understand that because they ain't never got that. No bread in those places, just entertainment. This is not an entertainment center. This is a gospel preaching center. The book needs to be preached. Fresh bread needs to be delivered all the time. So we need to understand that crumbs will not do, thank you. The presence of God is what we need, manifested here, flowing out from here. We need less sermons that will cause people to stand and applaud and more that will get on their knees and weep. When was the last time we had that? I'm just asking a question because I've been in these services where I've seen where people would come and absolutely fall on their face and would never get off the platform. Sometimes the janitor would lock the doors and steal people on their face. Whatever happened to that? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Even some of the camps, Brother Todd, on the camps sometimes, when the invitation just goes on and on and on because God's working. You know, we're so busy doing everything that's not really important that we don't have time enough for God Almighty. I know if we took time out to see Him, see His face. I thought about Moses. Read down through that the other day. Where Moses said, I want to see your face. And the Lord said, you can't do that. If you do that, you'll die. He said, so what I want you to do is I want you to come over here and stand by me. I have a place by me. And I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. When I pass, I'll put my hand over you. And when I pass by, you can look at my back side, not my front, not my face. Well, you get to think about that. No man should see God or he's going to die. That principle is still in place, by the way. Except if my people, which are call by my name shall humble himself and pray and seek his face. Why would he ask us to seek his face if he didn't want us to see him? Why is it that I read my Bible that in all these other places where somebody saw him face to face? Why is that? Could it be that they actually had to die? And could it be that that's exactly what God wants us to do? Isn't it amazing that the old preachers of old used to preach on a constant basis, die to self, die to self, die to self? We're not hearing that anymore. I believe you can see the face of God if you'll die to all the externals. We're so impressed with the externals and what God Almighty can do for us. We need to understand we can see his face if we really wanted to. But you're going to have to go after it. We're just settled on the services and singing some songs and going to the house and patting ourselves on the back like we've been good little religious people. How about seeing his face? When you see his face, my friend, you'll see yourself as you really are. I'm simply saying that we got to hunger after that. When we get to the place not to seek his hand. I said when we get to the place where we're not seeking his hand, but we're seeking his face. You don't have to amen me on this. I know this because I'm guilty of this. Dear God, bless me. Dear God, do this for me. Dear God, always asking him for something. Always asking him for something. We do it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But how about just wanting him, not what he can do for us? Y'all know my daddy. And, of course, Brother Smith, I tried to lead my daddy to Christ. He wouldn't listen to me. Would he preach it? And so Brother Smith ended up leading to Christ in his office all those years ago. When I was a young man, all I wanted was what Daddy could give me. But I got to the place in my life. I didn't want anything from him. I just wanted to do something for him. And I wanted to be in his presence. And hear his stories. Lord, did he have the stories. And when I first was a Christian, all I'd do is ask. Bless me, help me, give me. And as I've aged as a preacher, all I want is to see his face and listen to his stories. And if you ever get there, you're just about on the verge of seeing him. I'm just simply saying that our eyes get dim toward the things of the world. We can then see his face clearly. But we're going to have to die to ourselves. Dying to external things, dying to our passions sometimes, dying to our desires. The one thing, Brother Angel, that some young people don't understand is they'll never find God's will if they have a will of their own. They're going to have to die to that. You also, preachers, you're going to have to die to your dreams and let God give you the dreams and then resurrect that thing. And it's amazing when you do that how God will intervene and do something for you far beyond what you could ever dream of. How in the world could God Almighty take a cage of oil in the swamps of Louisiana and do anything with something like that? There's only a few people in this room could explain me, and they don't know all. But how does that happen? Brother Wade's down there in Cajun country. When they told me he went down there, I said, please don't let that boy go down there. They'll cut him up for crawfish bait and eat him alive as sure as I'm here. I mean it. I'd said that. Not flinching, I said that. And you go down there and preach for him. Those people love him. He loves them. But that's an unusual group way down. South Louisiana is a mission field. How could God take him? I can understand God using him, preacher's son. Are you hearing me now? Somewhere, somehow, we've got to understand that God will use anybody that would just give themselves. When was the last time we had good invitation for the young people and they began to surrender and call to preach? We still got men. God's still calling men if we're good. They're too busy with their little devices and playing with the devices and don't want to see his face. I'm simply saying that when your king, your earthly king must die before you can see his face. Have an Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. When King Uzziah died, the Bible said, then I saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. I'm simply saying that it's interesting that Isaiah thought he was okay till his earthly king died. There's sometimes the external is what we have our eyes on, and it's what's captivating us, and in some cases, that's what we're worshiping. God's going to have to kill that king. I'm going to tell you something else. You're going to have to kill yourself. Brother Smith understands this, and preacher reminded me yesterday you didn't get into your testimony where Brother Buchanan came to me when I was called to preach and said, sell everything you got. Now, Brother Smith understands this, but the swamp was my king. I made so much money in the swamp and did so much down there. It's amazing. I love the place, still love it, but I can't have it. And I had to die to that king before I could serve the one that had called me. So sometimes you got to die to the king before you can see him. I'm just simply saying, and then when Isaiah's king died and he saw the real king, the king of heaven, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. When you see him as he really is, you'll see yourself as you really are. We're good at doing church. We're not good at seeking his face. I'm simply saying that when fresh bread is baked, you'll understand that there's a situation that we've got to come to the point to understand the Holy Ghost of God is dealing with us. And when God's word is preached, there needs to be a decision to make. That's what preaching is. It brings you to a point of decision in your life. And all of this preaching we can do this week, I want to ask you a question. What decision are you going to make? Are you going to sit there and just sour? Or will you make a decision that will be life-changing? All the preaching that you will hear this week from these great men, you can sit there and not make a life-changing decision. What's wrong with us anymore? Famine is what it is. And if you're not careful, if you don't stay on the right end of that thing, you're going to end up in Moab. I've seen it time and time again. We think that God's more interested in our music program, flesh and impressive buildings, than he is us warning him. Brother Angel, you remember the revival that hit Northwest because we started that prayer meeting at 5:30. And we still have hundreds and hundreds come every Sunday at 5:30 and pray. Had a man, a prayer evangelist, come through, and he's trying to help everybody get into prayer. And he happened to walk in our building at 5:30, and he was astonished. He just couldn't believe it. We've been doing that a long time, and I believe that's what God wants, for people to cry out and want his face and want him to show up in the services. And he has in the last several weeks, hundreds saved. Bunches saved yesterday with a soul vacuum cleaner. That's Brother Coral, by the way. He can get them saved. You get them lost, he can get them saved. I'm simply saying that we're good at doing church. Sometimes we're just not good at seeking his face. When you encounter the Lord, you'll come out with a different walk and a different name. We understand Jacob did that, did he not? He wrestled with the Lord. You ought to get over there and look at it over there in Genesis. You'll see what he did. He wrestled with him all night. And he said, what is your name? And all of a sudden, this is what he said after wrestling, and he prevailed. He said, I have seen God face to face. If we need anything in this world today and in this conference, is to get to the point to get away from the hand and start seeking the face. When we start seeing his face, you're going to see things different. You'll walk circumspectly. You'll understand why God saved you. He didn't save you to run and do your own little thing and come up with your own little program and try to build your own little church. He's the one that needs to build the church. If you allow him to and get out of the way, he might could do that. But I tell you one thing you better do. You better be serving up some fresh bread. Or you're going to lose in Moab. I read a story of Hitler burning hundreds of thousands of Jews. He did that in front of 100,000 young people. In mass, chanting, we are yours, do with us what you will. We are yours, do with us what you will. Can you imagine this man killing all those people and then all the young people screaming that? When I read that story, I got to thinking, if we had 100,000 fundamental independent Baptists that would look in the face of our Lord and said, we are yours. Do what you want with us. We might see revival. Again, I say, there are people in this room who could give far greater testimony than me that you have stepped up and said, when I got saved, I gave God all of me. He didn't get some of me, he got all of me. I reported for duty and been there in the trenches ever since. That's what he wants from all of us. Every one of us. Didn't use any humor tonight and won't. We're living in too much of a serious hour. I don't mind humor, love humor. But we're living in a very serious hour. And if there's ever a time that we need God to come down and show up and do something in our lives for eternity, it's right now. And I have prayed that this week that God would do that somewhere along the line of this conference. I love this church. I love this pastor. And I kind of like the evangelist even. Not when he's fasting, though. He gets ornery. These are my friends, but they're friends because of what they believe. And we walk together because of what we believe. And I want God to do something. So much money has been spent. So much organization has been going. But what we need more than anything is Him. My Father, I pray that You would help us tonight. Just a simple truth, Lord, of needing that fresh bread. Getting on our face, getting in the book, and You speaking to our hearts, and then we dealing with us and convicting us about it, and then we delivering it to the people. Lord, I pray that our folks would understand this simple truth, but a truth nonetheless. When I read that no man can see me unless you die, and I got thinking, but all these other places, You told us to seek Your face, and others said that they've seen God face to face, and I think the principle is still there. The only thing we need to do is die to ourselves. And dear God, there's some men in this room, I know them personally and intimately. They've done that. And I think that's why they deliver the goods. Lord, I pray that we'd see Your face. One day we'll see Thee, by and by. We understand that. But we want to see You now. And we want to see You in power come this week and do something real and everlasting in our souls. We ask You to bless the conference, bless Brother Smith as he comes in just a moment. We ask in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
Well, that was a good start. My goodness. My goodness. We had Brother Gomez yesterday for the specific purpose of sharing his testimony of salvation and then winning his mom and dad to the Lord. God used him yesterday in my life. I revisited when I got saved. That's good to do. And, man, he's right. I can remember in the 70s going to meetings like this. I was, couldn't wait for the preaching. And I'm not exaggerating. God is my witness. Just, Mike took us to a meeting in Chattanooga. He said, boys, you get to hear Lester Olof tonight. We got there, every seat was full. The choir was full. The ushers, what do we do with these kids? What do we do with these other people coming in behind us? I said, put them on the platform. And I sat right here. There was no social distancing between me and Brother Olof that night. He'd preach and cry and preach and sing and cry. I could have sat there for 2 or 3 hours. I think our book says something about the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. We're so full of junk. We're not hungry for God. Let's bow our heads. I just feel impressed, Brother Coral, if it's okay. Just right now, why don't you want to come and just kneel here at the start of this meeting after this first message. Tell God you're hungry. Tell God you're hungry. Our Father, we come seeking Your face now. We don't, not asking for Your hand, a provision which you are so faithful to give us over and over again. Tonight we're seeking you, your face, your power, O God, fresh bread from your oven for our hearts and souls. We are living, O God, in such a needy hour. Help us, Lord, our attention these few hours of these next couple days to be totally turned upon you. And would you feed us, please? We are a needy people. Thank you for feeding us tonight already. The good fellowship and music, but Lord, most of all, the bread was brought. I thank you for visiting us this first message. Please continue to do so, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.